Now it's over to the news desk with Abel Vasquez and Rich Gomez. But first, we'll take a look at today's headlines.
Cuban foreign minister sends condolences on the death of Robert Mugabe.
Cuba rejects newly announced U.S. hostile measures.
Cuba actively involved in the Lula Libre campaign.
Venezuela government announces it is not to resume talks with opposition.
Now for the news in detail.
Cuba's foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez Parrilla, has conveyed to the government and the people of Zimbabwe heartfelt condolence for the death of former President Robert Mugabe, founding father of the independence of that nation. Rodriguez wrote on Twitter that Mugabe was an African historical leader and great friend of Cuba's. The Cuban top diplomat also extended his condolences to Robert Mugabe's family and friends. Mugabe died in a Singapore hospital Friday, surrounded by his family and his wife, Grace, indicated various sources to SimLive website. The former president of Zimbabwe had been hospitalized and receiving medical treatment in the Asian city for the last 5 months.
Cuba rejected on Friday the newly announced U.S. measures that further tighten the blockade by restricting money remittances of Cuban Americans to their relatives on the island. Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez posted on Twitter the strong rejection of the implementation of the measures that were originally announced in April. Rodriguez noted that by blaming on Cuba its failure to force the overthrow of the Bolivarian government in Venezuela, the U.S. lies blatantly to justify implementation of new aggressive measures against Cuba. They will not bend the will of Cubans, and the universal rejection against the blockade will grow. The opportunistic attempt to divide Cubans will fail, he said. Meanwhile, organizations and personalities in the United States have promptly reacted to the announcement. The Engage Cuba Coalition and the Washington Office on Latin America blasted the new measures. On Twitter, Engage Cuba wrote, "It's bad enough that the Trump administration is deporting Cubans, denying asylum seekers, and no longer processing family reunification visas. With these new remittance restrictions, they are now limiting or outright denying a precious lifeline for countless Cubans on the island." For its part, the Washington Office of Latin America pointed out in its account in the same social media network that remittances play an important role for Cuban families and said that imposing those limits will not achieve the U.S. government's goals of changing Cuba's politics and economy. Also, Tampa Bay Congresswoman Kathy Castor said that Trump continues to hurt Cuban-American families with his harsh and inhuman policies. Trump administration even pocketed money that families paid for State Department fees in a specially cruel twist, she said.
The president of the Cuban Institute of Friendship with the Peoples, ICAP, Fernando González Llort, reiterated on Friday the importance of joining the campaign for the release of former Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, an emblematic leader of our America, in a struggle against the judicialization of politics. González Llort stressed that as part of the international solidarity campaign Lula Libre, in favor of the release of the Workers' Party leader, Cuba is joining the initiative with different actions. Among them, he mentioned the use of social media to raise awareness of the situation Lula is going through, of the reasons why his imprisonment is a great injustice and why he's part of an imperialist offensive against everything that means progressive government, whether socialist or not, or contributes to establishing policies for the benefit of the peoples. He noted that the United States governments and right-wing forces intend to lead Latin America once again to be a territory in which U.S. transnationals and neoliberal policies prevail. Therefore, the tasks undertaken in Cuba and in other countries are part of a response to the campaigns of distortion and manipulation carried out by the hegemonic media of the right, which try to criminalize and imprison progressive leaders of the left, as is the case of the former Brazilian president.
President Nicolas Maduro said on Friday that he won't resume talks with the opposition until it rejects calls by a top supporter in Britain to give up Venezuela's sovereignty claims over the oil-rich contested territory of Essequibo. The Venezuelan leader's comments came after his chief prosecutor opened an investigation against Vanessa Newman, the top envoy in London for opposition leader Juan Guaido. To return to the dialogue, we demand that they rectify their infamous purpose to surrender our territory. This decision represents the feelings of Venezuelans. It is a national cause, Maduro wrote on Twitter. Government and opposition talks had been taking place under the sponsorship of Norway since April, but Maduro last month broke off the talk taking place on the Caribbean island of Barbados over the opposition support for tougher U.S. sanctions to punish companies from third countries that do business in Venezuela. On Thursday, Venezuelan Vice President Delcy Rodríguez released recordings in which Newman can be heard urging a Guaido aide, Manuel Avendano, to give up the opposition's claim to the Essequibo region disputed with Guyana. In the recording, Newman says that after speaking with the British Foreign Office, she recommends that the opposition drop the topic of Venezuela's claim to Essequibo in order to secure London's political support. Guyana is a member of the British Commonwealth. Venezuelans have long claimed the mineral-rich region west of the Essequibo River in Guyana, arguing it was stolen from their country in the 19th century breakup of the former British colony. In announcing charges Friday, Venezuela's chief prosecutor, Tarek William Saab, accused Newman and Avendano of secretly negotiating a deal to drop Venezuela's claim to Essequibo in exchange for lucrative contracts with multinational corporations.
And you're listening to Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast from our studios here in the Cuban capital. Back now to the news with Abel Vasquez and Rach Garmin.
The president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, has called on the international community to work together without exclusion and to set aside political differences to mitigate the forest fires that are affecting the Amazon. How is it possible to be distanced because of ideological differences? The rights of Mother Earth are above everything. Let's face all this problem without any exclusion, said the president when he intervened in the summit for the Amazon, held in the city of Leticia in southern Colombia on Friday. Morales was making reference to the exclusion of Venezuela from the summit, an action considered by many countries as a political decision by some regional governments. At the end of the encounter, the attending countries of South America's Amazon region announced they will increase cooperation against causes of deforestation, such as illegal mining, illegal clearing of forest for agriculture and drug trafficking. The pact approved also includes creating an information network to prevent disasters, increased monitoring of deforestation by satellite, promoting research and education, and increasing the participation of indigenous people to favor the sustainable use of the rainforest. Bolivia's president called on the other countries to allow crisis hit Venezuela, which had not been invited to join the pact that was approved. Morales supported the proposals and warned that Mother Earth is threatened with death, which is why he stressed the need to seal an alliance for the Amazon based on principles of multilateralism, the non-marketing of forest and mitigation. The summit was attended by Bolivian president and his counterparts from Colombia, Iván Duque, Peru, Martín Vizcarra, and Ecuador, Lenin Moreno. The president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, participated in the meeting via video conference and was represented by a delegation headed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ernesto Enrique Fraga.
As Bahamian authorities had warned, the death toll from Hurricane Dorian is on the rise, with confirmed fatalities now increasing to 30. Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minis reiterated that he expected the figure to further increase. "We will update the public as soon as we have accurate information," he said, as he addressed the nation following an aerial tour on Grand Bahamas. As the days progress, a clearer picture is emerging of the death and destruction which Dorian caused when it made landfall first on Abaco Island as a Category 5 hurricane with 185 mile per hour winds and gusts as high as 200 miles per hour. It then slowly moved over Grand Bahamas, where it remained stationary for several hours. Prime Minister Menes said many people were trapped in what was left of their homes, while others were still in shelters. The Prime Minister said that the 30 confirmed deaths were on Abaco, warning that the number will likely increase. He lamented also what he called the generational devastation brought by Hurricane Dorian.
On September the 5th, known as Amazon Rainforest Day, social and environment movements, trade unions, religious groups, human rights activists, gender rights activists, professors and students are holding protests in several Brazilian cities in rejection of President Jair Bolsonaro's policies which encourage the conversion of the rainforests into agricultural lands. Not only has the fire destroyed the Amazon, what destroyed our Amazonian forests, rivers and communities are large companies, agribusiness, hydroelectric and timber concessions, said Moroni Bemuyal Guimaraes, spokesperson of the Movement of People Affected by Barragens, the MAB. In the state of Amapa, agricultural entrepreneurs are entering with force. Here we have our hydroelectrics that will generate a great havoc, mainly among riparian peoples, fishermen, Afro-descendant populations and indigenous communities. So far, the Brazilian local press has confirmed rallies in Belém, Ataituba, Altamira e Maraba in the state of Pará, Fortaleza, Caucaia and Jaguaribara in the state of Ceará, and Manaus, Macapá, Porto Alegre, Porto Velho, Brasília, São Paulo and El Dorado. Preserving the Amazon should be one of our priorities. More and more, however, we see that the opposite is happening in the Bolsonaro administration. On Saturday the 7th, we will take to the streets in defense of the Amazon and education. September the 5th, Amazon Day. Additionally, on September the 7th, Brazil's Independence Day, students will hold demonstrations to defend the Amazon and public education, both of which are also being threatened by Bolsonaro's privatization program. Protests called by Brazilian organizations will be accompanied by activities such as conferences, music festivals, and parades. With respect to the ongoing cycle of exploitation of Amazonian natural resources, Freddy Renero, a MAB activist, said that the commercial use of forest does not usually generate significant revenues for the working people.
And once again, our headlines for today.
Cuban Foreign Minister sends condolences on the death of Robert Mugabe.
Cuba rejects newly announced U.S. hostile measures.
Cuba actively involved in the Lula Libre campaign.
Venezuela government announces it is not resume talks with opposition.